ഹരേ കൃഷ്ണ. ഇറ്റ് ഈസ് മൈ ഗുഡ് ഫോർച്യൂൺ ദാറ്റ് ടുഡേസ് ടോപ്പിക് ഈസ് ഹെൽത്ത് ബിയോണ്ട് ഫിറ്റ്നസ്. ഹാഡ് ഇറ്റ് ബീൻ ഹെൽത്ത് ആസ് ഫിറ്റ്നസ്, ഇറ്റ് വുഡ് ബി ബിയോണ്ട് മൈ സ്കോപ്പ് ടു സ്പീക്ക് ടുഡേ. If you expect somebody with 90 kilos and a giant personality walking in to speak on fitness, probably you would be disappointed. So fortunately it is health beyond fitness. There is a story about one man, a very rich man, once traveled all around the world and died in a foreign land. But he sent a message to his son here that I have left a great fortune for you. And this man went the same way wherever his father had traveled all over, looking for that wealth. And in the process, died also in a foreign land. So he was brought back and the last rites were performed and they decided to bury him in his own property. And as they were digging in the backyard a hole for his grave, they struck upon a chest which contained all the treasure. So similarly, people all over are desperately looking for solutions to the burning issues in terms of political, social, personal, communal, and other aspects of life. And the whole treasure chest of timeless Vedic knowledge is presented in this 700 verses of the Bhagavad Gita. It's amazing that how practically the whole solution for everything that we ever wanted to know can be contained in such a few verses in such a comprehensive way. Needless to say, each of these words are like sutras, are like aphorisms, which contain a great depth of knowledge in terms of its practical application. And it requires a deep understanding of the subject matter in terms of universal fundamental truths of life, and a complete understanding of which helps to apply according to time, place and circumstance in a suitable way to solve the current issues of society. One of the burning issues that everyone faces today is health. And people are seeking for true health. Generally, health in today's day and age, on a very superficial way, is seen as how healthy you are in terms of the biceps and the triceps, probably. If you look at the billboards, the advertisements, what's the psychology behind the advertisement? Advertisement means you have to promote something that you don't need, basically. You don't need advertisement for rice, dal, sabji, chapati. Advertisement to convince you that what you don't require. How effectively can you do that? That's the success. And to do that, they need to get your attention. They need to know your pulse, your heart. And therefore, look at the billboards. These people, highly paid people, if they want that thing to be successful, they need to know what is the aspiration of people. And once you know the deep-rooted aspiration of your heart, put up that, and behind that any product will sell. So that is the main thing. Generally look at a billboard. Since I was preparing this topic, I've been watching billboards for quite some time now. Quite a few days. So many interesting billboards I came across. But most of them show a very powerfully built person, whether it is an underwear, whether it is a vehicle, whether it is whatever, you name it and they have it, but it's produced by putting up a very powerfully built person with a cigarette dangling at a particular angle from his lips, the He-Man, and then he has his powerful arms around the slender waist of a beautiful woman, and then probably in another hand he has a goblet of a peg of favorite liquor. And one advertisement I saw is holding his girl and leaning against the tough vehicle, the rugged vehicle. It can travel anywhere. They show a mountain and standing there. And then kicking a man on his belly, throwing him out. So this product will make you that. Now what's so great about it? What's the message behind this? The message behind this is, you will be powerful, you can control things, and you will be the real enjoyer of life if you buy this product. That is a subtle message. If you have this vehicle, practically you can go anywhere, anytime, conquer. Then you're powerful, you are the controller, you are the enjoyer. People will just look at you and then follow you. So that's the message. So simply by looking at it, the aspirations of the people can be known. And the mere fact that products are selling nicely shows that that's successful. That's what the aspirations is. Otherwise, how would people spend so much? So the point is, in the Bhagavad Gita, it says, what is the nature of a demoniac civilization? What is demoniac? Demoniac means they have a particular nature, they have a particular philosophy, they have a particular mentality and attitude, they have particular actions. By that you can find out, Dvaubhuta Sargav Lokesmin Daiva Asurevacha. One is demoniac, another one is favorable. Favorable means they accept an authority, they accept that behind this purpose, behind this creation, there is a purpose, there is an intention, there is a universal fundamental law of nature, and anyone who tries to transgress the law, there is going to be tremendous reaction. That is Sura, who are obedient to the laws of nature. While the demoniac means they want to conquer the laws of nature, go against it and still find happiness. So their nature is, they are unclean in terms of their mentality, in terms of their dealings, in terms of their activities, and in their thoughts. That is the contamination within their heart of hearts. And untruthful. That means they conveniently change their philosophy according to time, place, to suit their own needs. They justify their activities by a suitable philosophy. And it is self-centered. So, what's the philosophy? Actually, there is no God in control. You are the controller. You are the proprietor. You know it, you can manipulate it. You study nature, understand its functioning, and manipulate it, and use it for your enjoyment. And what is their mentality? Their mentality is highly egoistic, very proud, and anyone who, you know, subtly touches their ego, they become very angry. They think they are the controller. Ishwaroham, aham bhogi, siddhoham, balavan, sukhi. Ishwaroham, I am the controller. Everything, I can easily put things under my control. Something is wrong, don't worry. We have solution for it. Aham bhogi, I am the real enjoyer. Siddhoham, we are perfect. What we are doing is perfect. And balavan, we are powerful. Individually, collectively. And sukhi, we can give you real happiness. But unfortunately, we find that their actions, they cause destruction. They are horrible. They are very painful. And the result is, they create a hell. Hellish situation within and hellish situation without. So, Kali Yuga means it is a day of packaging industry. More than important than the product is how you package it. And if that is good, anything can be sold. Superficiality is given more importance, externals are given more important than the substance, than the principles. So, what is, according to the Bhagavad Gita or the Vedic conclusions, but Gita doesn't mean simply a Hindu scripture. Gita means it is essence of the Veda. Veda comes from the root word vit. Vit means to know, and vidya means knowledge. And knowledge means it is applicable for all people at all times under all circumstances. That's truth. So he talks of universal fundamental truths. So according to the Gita, what is real health? Health is a state of diseaselessness of the self. The self is referred to as Atma. Now, Atma is referred to for three objects. Atma is sometimes referred, the body is referred to as Atma sometimes, Dehatma Buddhi. Sometimes the mind is referred to as Atma, and sometimes the soul is referred to also as Atma. So health of the Atma, the real self or healthy person, is he whose body, whose mind and whose soul are in harmony with nature. So anyone whose body, whose mind and whose real self, the spirit self, is harmony with nature, such a person is considered to be a very healthy and diseaseless person. So what are the diseases? Diseases of the body, tan rog, diseases of the mind, mano rog, and diseases of the spirit, bhava rog. So a person who is free of tan rog, mano rog and bhava rog is considered to be a very healthy person. He is enjoying true health, vibrant health. But today, health is generally considered to be only external health of this gross body alone, which is important, but that's not the all in all. In fact, in order of importance, the latter is more important than the former. More important than the health of the body is the health of the mind. according to the, you know, why? How do we say? What's the proof that mental health is more important than the bodily health? Generally, who doesn't want to have a good healthy body? People are ready to spend millions to keep the body fit, isn't it? People spend so much money simply to keep their body fit. No one wants to lose their health. But when a person is mentally disturbed, he doesn't mind giving up his body, committing suicide. Who is a person who would like to give up his body? Body is so dear, we'll spend great amount simply to protect even one part of it. No one wants to lose even a single part of the body. But a person sometimes is so mentally disturbed, for him, living one moment is more painful than the whole life. And therefore, for him, death is the solution of all problems. People commit suicide just because somebody failed in an exam or got 2% less than what he's expected, what he was expecting. People commit suicide. Students commit suicide. In particular organizations, schools, colleges, they have locked up the terrace. Especially during the result time. In Mysore, where I did my post-graduation, during exam time, there is a lake. Near that lake, they would put security guards. Sometimes, janam janam ke saathi, both friends would come, hold their hands and drown themselves. To give encouragement to each other. So it's a fact that mental health is anytime more important than the bodily health. That doesn't mean that I am belittling the body. But the fact is this. The subtler the thing, it's more powerful, more important, more essential for it to be properly maintained. According to the WHO, the World Health Organization, the greatest problem in this century, in this day and age, is not cancer, is not AIDS, is not hepatitis A, B, C, D, whatever. It's actually mental stress and mental disorders. I have got some statistics, shocking statistics. Lucky in India we don't have good statistics. Otherwise people would faint. Anyway, but Americans are very good at, you know, presenting statistics. According to the statistics, recent statistics, 19 million adults in the US alone are facing depression. And 43.7 billions of dollars are spent every year simply for solving depression problems. This is only one of the various types of mental problems. 5 lakh adolescents from the age 15 to 25 years, that's exactly the Prerana group, attempt suicide every year. More of them actually seriously consider sometime or the other in their life, especially during this time, 15 to 25 years. And 5,000 of them are successful. Unfortunately. It's a fact. Today, seriously, people are considering counselors in schools. People become so different. Recently, I heard in Bangalore, my classmate, this lady is a Kurgi lady. She stays in Bangalore. She had come recently to meet me. She told me she had a neighbor whose son is in the 9th standard. He's also a Kurgi boy. He went to the school, came back and told his mother, "Mama, my teacher has given me some homework. I'm not going to do it because it was not my fault. She's pushing me." And she rang up and the teacher said, no, he has to come, otherwise he can't come tomorrow. And it was very much disturbed. So she said, no, you have to do better. You have to do it. And he went inside, locked the door, and they heard a loud bang. Then she opened the door, broke open the door. He had shot himself dead. Because his father is a military, an army man. He had kept in the drawer this gun. He just shot himself. Just because his ego, he couldn't accept. And I have not done any mistake, and she wants me to write this 10 times or something, I'm not going to do it. And he shot himself. She is crying. This lady is crying. I don't know why I told him. He could have after all done it. It's because of this illusion, some kind of illusion, some kind of egoistic, some kind of whatever stress. People are stressed, tremendously stressed today. Now what is stress? Just like we have this beautiful instrument, tanpura, lying here. Now, there has to be some stress between the two ends of the string for this to play nicely, any stringed instrument to play nicely. You have to have some, you know, strain. Tong, very sweet. If you loosen it, there will be no sound. But if you tighten it, you just go for a long time. More than what is necessary. That means it is little tight. And when you make it too tight, what happens? Snaps. So stress means for a little thing, big reaction. That means you are stressed. One little twitch like this and you just, you know, for 1 week you are just going on and on about it. Sometimes parents say this, you know, and the children complain, what is this, you know, I just showed this and you're just shouting like anything. What did I say? People are so stressed out, some little stimulus and big reaction. Then you should know you're under stress. If a practically some little thing is a big reaction. And people are stressed out. Little failure in examination, that's not the goal of life. There's something much more to life. This shows the ignorance. This shows wrong priorities. And therefore, people give up the most precious human form of life. What is the use of building all of this health simply to just commit suicide one day? So, it's much more. In the Gita, Krishna implores Arjun, Yudhyasva Vigata Jwara. He says, Arjun, fight and give up lethargy. The lethargy comes due to unhealthy mind. Just like there are some viruses and bacteria which when they affect, they cause imbalance of our health. Similarly, there are subtle bacteria and subtle viruses which when they contaminate our mind, makes the mind very unhealthy. What are these? It is described, Kamayesha Krodhayesha Rajoguna Samudbhavaha Mahashano Mahapapma Vidhi Enam Iha Vairinam. There are enemies right within which we don't recognize and nourish it as friends. Suppose there are some bacteria in your body and you eat some kind of foodstuff that nourishes the bacteria, that enhances their power, that enhances their number. That means you are taking a wrong diet. You will fall sick. You will be diseased. Similarly, there are subtle bacteria and viruses which are enemy-like within the core of our heart, which affects the mind. If you are not aware of these signs of these subtle bacteria and viruses, and in ignorance, we nourish it and we cultivate them, then that leads to greater mental disease. And that causes the ultimate death of the living entity, either slowly over a period of time or one stretch, one quick, by jumping over or doing something nonsense. So, what are these enemies that attack? The first is, Krishna says in the Gita, Kamayesha. It is lust only which is the all-devouring sinful enemy of the living entity. What is lust? It is actually the pure love of the soul which is pervertedly manifested. Instead of rendering selfless service which truly satisfies the self, in ignorance, in illusion, considering the body to be the self, a person becomes very selfish and is ready to do anything to fulfill that desire which arises out of the lower self. And such a person doesn't mind acting in a very shameless way, in a very cruel way, just to satisfy that. Even a person who is acting knows, but he just can't control himself. Arjun asks, Atha kena prayuktoyam papam charati purushah anichhannapi varshneya baladiva niyojita. He says, impelled by what, O Krishna, is a man forced to perform sinful activities even though he knows it is not to be done, pulled as if by force? Then he says, this is rajo and tamoguna, and from which arises lust, anger, greed, etc. Lust for power, gross lust may manifest for illicit sex. A person does shameless activities simply to satisfy the immediate desires of the base self, for which he suffers rest of life. Even top leaders of nations have suffered and been deprived of their glorious service to humanity simply because they fell prey to the disease of the infection of this lust. And then there is anger. Anger, as they say, is one letter short of danger. D-anger. D-A-N-G-E-R. It's a momentary madness. A person filled by anger, his chest becomes, eyes becomes red hot, chest becomes heated up, and he loses control. That's a disease condition. And he says something, he acts in a way, or he does something for which he suffers for the rest of his life. Few years back, there was a newspaper report. A young couple got married. They were in Sion. This was somewhere in the 7th floor of a high-rise building. They didn't have an issue for a long time. They went abroad, got a test tube baby. And eventually they had a baby. And one day, there was a fight amongst the husband and wife. It went on and on and on. And somehow it reached such a peak. Because in a fit of anger, whatever you can get your hands on, you just release that. It's like boiled, my blood is boiling, they say. When it boils, it just spills over. So when the mind is filled with anger, it spills over. And spills over in the form of whatever is, comes in hand, throw it at someone, not realizing what's in your hand. So this man, he lost his head so much. He said, if you speak even one time, what could he do? He looked at the child. The child was there. He caught hold of the child with the legs, held it upside down outside the balcony. He said, I'm going to throw this child. I'm going to throw this child. Don't speak now. And she was also angry. She said, wow, do you think it's only my child? It's your child. Do any damn thing you want. And she went on, blah, 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 blah. Now it was ego, question of ego. And he was so angry, he just left the child from the 7th floor. And she was shocked. This lady was shocked. He actually left that. And she ran down the staircase just to see what's happening. And when she went down, she saw two dead bodies. the child and the father also had jumped. Out of frustration. He realized what he had done in a fit of anger. Frustrated, he also jumped. And just across the building, there was an old man sitting on the 7th floor and watching this. He got a heart attack, he died. It's a fact. This came in the newspaper. Probably he was a sober man. He was shocked at the madness of this world. He got a shock. He died. 3 casualties because of this anger. Now, we may not do that kind of a thing, but sometimes we see in our relationships, we just say something, give a piece of our mind to someone, do something for which that relationship is spoiled practically for the whole life. And sometimes it's a geometric progression. He says something, and sometimes what to speak of individual, it becomes family, it becomes generations. That enmity goes on and on and on and on. You don't even know who started it, why it started, but that fellow finished. Wo to hamara jaane maane dushman hai. Why? I don't know. My father, great grandfather used to tell me. In Bombay trains, you see this, you know, practical self-realization in the local trains. One time I was just traveling by train and one fellow got up just to take his purse off, take his ticket or something. When he sat down on somebody else's lap. So that fellow pushed him. And he said, no, this is my place. No. Both. He just caught his collar and lifted him up. And they started fighting over the seat. No third person could dare sit there. So, from Grand Road to Matunga Road, 4 or 5 stations, they were fighting over that seat. Then one fellow had to get down at Matunga Road. So he caught hold of that fellow and pulled him out. And they continued to fight. And the train left. So they were continued to fight over the seat which is already gone. They forgot why it began. Then it came to something else. Your family, my family, this went on. And eventually they forgot that it was the seat and that's already gone. Both have got down. So that's like a continuity of the chronic disease of anger. Greed. Greed is something which the more you have, the more you want. When you don't have proper understanding of what's the ultimate goal of life, what's actually worth acquiring, how much do we actually need? There's a saying, there is enough in the world for everyone's need, but not enough for one man's greed. We hear of a person, all of us know whom I'm talking about, who had 12,000 crores. How many of us aspire for becoming a crorepati? This man had 12,000 crores. He was not satisfied with that and he went on and on and on and on and doing any kind of things just to amass it. Eventually it came to a point when ultimately he was caught up and put in the prison, and out of frustration, misery, jail after jail because he had so many cases, he died. He was a heavily built fellow, physically very strong, but he died at the age of 46. I know I have so many examples, but we are discussing about the solution, not the problem. However, the problem must be understood, because if you don't understand the gravity of the problem, nobody will be inspired to understand what to speak of applying the solutions. Therefore, I think half of the time is justified in explaining the problem. And then, envy is so deep-rooted. It's like a negative energy within your heart, which you are cultivating. I was recently traveling in a taxi, and there it was very nicely written, "Jo logon se jalta hai, wo khud ko jalata hai." Jo logon se jalta hai, wo khud ko jalata hai. Because actually, envy is a negative energy being cultivated in the heart, which is self-destructive. Just like we hear of the story of Duryodhan. Yudhishthir was really trying to, you know, like, set things up and all that. But Yudhishthir was, I mean, Duryodhan was so envious. He just couldn't tolerate somebody else. That's because lack of understanding of, there is a law, it works. Everyone has to get their quota. And sometimes, unnecessarily, people become so envious, and that creates so much of misery. And indirect psychophysical symptoms. Today, most of the people have some symptoms for which the doctors are scratching their heads and say, X-ray is normal, ECG, everything is normal. You have no problem. No, doctor, I have burning sensation here, this, there, everywhere. Vepathushya sarire me roma harshasya jayate. Not Gandivam, what do you say? Office bag, samsrate hastat, tvakchaiva paridahyate. My skin is burning. All these symptoms are manifested for no reason. Because it's actually a mental disturbance. So, suffice it to say that mental problem is much more actually serious than in the Gita it says why mental health is much more important, because eventually one may give up the gross body, but it is the mind which is responsible for what kind of body you receive in your next life. It extends even beyond just the gross body, and therefore cultivation of a healthy mind is much more important than merely the gross body alone. Krishna says in the Gita, Bandhuratma atmanastasya yenatmaivatmana jitaha anatmanastu shatrutve vartetatmaiva shatruvat. A mind which is controlled is the best of friends, and a mind which is out of control is the worst of enemy. So the greatest enemy or the greatest friend is right within. It's a question of you keeping it under control in a healthy state, or it has gone out of control. It's like a cancerous. It's out of your control. You can't do anything about it. It takes control. A cancerous situation takes control. So that's the whole idea. So when we are controlled by an uncontrolled mind, then we are forced to perform some actions. That actions, which means gratifying the senses, and that leads to a kind of result. So kukarma leads to kugati, and therefore it's very important. So sometimes even if you do some good job, you may get a better situation. But the whole situation itself in this material world is temporary. Happiness, material happiness, when you are enjoying, it goes like that without your knowledge. Whereas distress, every moment seems like 12 years or more. Whereas when you are very happy enjoying something, time flies. So in this state of fleeting happiness and elongated lamentation, a whole person's life is spoiled without knowing what's the ultimate goal of life. Now, and when the mind is controlled, a person who has controlled his mind using his friend, Tatah padam tat parimargitavyam yasmin gatana nivartanti bhuya, with a controlled body, means the senses, and the controlled mind, one can travel to the ultimate destination, by reaching where one doesn't have to come to this material world of dukkhalayam ashashvatam. It's a place of misery and everything is temporary. We achieve an abode that is eternal, full of knowledge and blissful. That knowledge is given. What's the destination of life? So, by this, the tanorog, manorog, and bhavarog, if it is overcome, then one has, with a healthy body and healthy mind, with a healthy self, has actually conquered, achieved a eternally healthy condition of eternal blissful life in the spiritual realm of existence. Now, how do we actually control the mind? Let's come to the solutions. Mind, Krishna in the Upanishad, it's beautifully explained. The body is compared to a chariot. Atmanam Rathinam Vidhi. The senses are compared to 5 powerful horses. The mind is compared to the reins, and the intelligence is compared to the charioteer, and the soul is compared to the passenger. Very difficult. In Bombay, hardly you see chariots, except Chowpatty night, they take you around. More connected example that you can relate today is take a vehicle. What is the most recent car which people aspire after? Mercedes Benz, Honda, something, Honda City, not Honda City. The new one has come. 18 lakhs. I drew in one. One devotee drew me. But he has a car, speedometer shows 240 kilometers. But he says, yes, city may, you are going, if you go to Gnal Bazar or this one, where do you drive 240 kilometers? He says, I have a powerful vehicle, but you know, this is an unfit place. The road is not suitable and nothing is suitable here. Anyway, it can be compared to a beautiful vehicle which has a very sleek and strong body line. And the mind can be controlled compared to the engine and the steering wheel, driving instrument. The intelligence can be compared to the driver. And the real self, the soul, can be compared to the passenger. Now, for a passenger to reach from one destination to the other destination, what's more important? The car should be in good condition. It shouldn't have a flat tire right in this important time, you know. Kya hua? Abhi change karna padega gaadi. So the car has to be strong body and everything is strong. More important that is the engine. Sometimes people don't mind paying a big money for second-hand car, even if it has met with a little dent on top, but good engine. So the engine is also equally, in fact, more important, because that's what actually pushes the vehicle ahead. That's decides the speed that you can achieve. It's the engine, not the body. And the driver is more important. You may have a powerful car, but if a fellow doesn't know how to drive, and secondly, he should know the roads, and he should know where you should reach. It's a very frustrating experience if the driver doesn't know, and every time he stops asking, and then he goes in the wrong way and spends a lot of time. So the driver should be expert in controlling the car without meeting an accident. And secondly, he should know the way very well, know the destination. You are completely dependable. You tell him the destination and relax. But what if the driver reaches the vehicle and then looks back, passenger is dead. He has fallen off somewhere. That's more important. Actually, for the satisfaction of the passenger, there is a driver and a car and the engine. So similarly, in this order, the mind is very important. The mind is the machine and the steering wheel. But how do we control the mind? The nature of the mind is to attach and detach. Sankalpa, vikalpa. The mind has only two language, like a computer language, you know, 0 or 1. It has only, I like, I don't like. It has no understanding, it has no head. It just speaks only two languages, I like, I don't like. But the intelligence has two functions, discrimination and determination. Asanga shastrena dridhena chitva. Only by detachment and determination can one actually reach the ultimate goal of life. Use this gift of the human life to achieve what it is actually meant for. Self-realization. So, what is this discrimination? Discrimination from asatoma sadgamaya, tamasima jyotirgamaya, mrityorma amrutangamaya. Discriminate the insignificant from the important. Discriminate the temporary from the permanent. Discriminate valuable things from invaluable things and discard them. So through intelligence, one has to determine that satisfying the gross senses with the objects of the senses, which is seemingly nectar in the beginning, is going to be poison in the end. Therefore, I scrutinizingly discriminate. Not this, not this. It is maybe pleasing to the senses. It may be pleasing to the mind initially, but I give it up. That's discrimination. That's detachment. Detachment doesn't mean to leave everything and go to the Himalayas. Detachment means whatever is favorable, I will adopt it. Whatever is not favorable, I reject it. The students may have this experience. Just before examination, they start using their discrimination. I have only 7 days, so many topics to be covered, so much time at my disposal. Amazing concentration they get. They devour books like this. And every student, really sincere fellow, thinks, if I study like this from the next year beginning, this is confirmation, I will easily get first rank. Easily. But the moment the examination over, tension is gone. Abhi ek aur saal hai na. You will postpone it. Why? Because you know, time is less, I have so much to cover, time management, object management, subject management, everything is managed perfectly. But the moment the pressure is off, finish, no discrimination, relax. So the pressure is off. So little of that stress is good. And discriminating, you know, what is human life? Human life is a facility with some ability and some time at our disposal. It is a facility. It's a vehicle provided with some ability, this much capacity, this much speed, this much whatever, and some time at your disposal to reach a goal. Every moment is important. This facility must be used, not overused, not abused. And then ability. The ability must be understood first of all. What abilities we have. It's amazing. Some scientists say that, one scientist was asked, what's the secret of your success? He said, 1% inspiration and 99% perspiration. Hard work. So that ability must be utilized and the time at your disposal. So that must be understood. Discrimination means what's favorable, what's not. Our great Acharya Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur would say, early morning, beat your mind with shoes 100 times. And just before going to bed, beat your mind with a broomstick 100 times. That means his suggestion is, on the two sides of your bed, have a broomstick and a slipper. Before bed, tick, tick, tick. After getting up, tick, tick, tick. So somebody said, really you mean we should do it? If you can do it, well and good. But try to understand what it is. First thing in the morning, you have to beat your mind and say, you fool, you may have so many priorities under the subordination of the senses. But what you really need is this, 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 this. Don't do this, 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 this. And do this, 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 this. That's like beating the mind. And before going to bed, analyze, take an inventory. You should have done this, 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 but you did not do this, this, this. You should have done this, you did not do this, this, this. So that's like taking an inventory. Some people do it only once a year. New Year's resolution. And that lasts till January 25th. And Christmas Day, everything is finished. All the resolution, dissolution, no solution. But that determination is lacking. And how do we get determination? So discrimination comes by associating with those who have this knowledge of what is what, the science of things as they are, by scrutinizing study of absolute truth in the association of like-minded people. Can a person develop discrimination? And then how do we develop determination? Determination comes by associating with those who have determination. You become what you associate with. Even a very determined person, if he has a wrong association, can potentially, it is a question of time. I had a friend of mine, a lot of money, because his father was doing this bottle business. In his school days, he would carry about 150, I'm talking about early 70s. He would carry 150 rupees a day. This is his pocket expenses. He would introduce, and then he would take his friends to the bar, and he would get all his homework done by them. Homework karke dikha dena teacher ko. And he would take them to the bar. And one fellow was doing good work and he was just going with him. And I won't drink, I won't. For months together he would go, but he wouldn't get involved. But one day he pushed him. Arey, take a beer. Take one sip. Ladies drink hai ye. Kuch nahi hota. And that's how he started. First was a free sample. Then he said, now you have to fend for yourself. So eventually it starts. What we associate, we become. And by reading the lives of those who exhibited determination, we can actually develop this. And with a determined and discriminatory intelligence and controlling the mind, one can actually achieve the spiritual knowledge. And acting on that knowledge, one can achieve the this kingdom of God or the spiritual world. But then, as the saying, there is a saying that goes, healthy mind in a healthy body. One cannot be strongly determined for a long time if he is chronically sick. It's very easy to fall into illusion and lose our determination, lose our discrimination, if a person is constantly sick. Chronic sickness completely diffuses the enthusiasm of a person. Therefore, it is our responsibility to make sure that the body is always in a fit condition. Not more than what is necessary, not less than what is necessary. So the secret of good health is given in one verse of the Bhagavad Gita, two verses in the sixth chapter. Give up extremes and adopt moderation. This is the secret of good health. Give up extremes, adopt moderation in everything that we do. Na ati ashnatastu yogosti, na chaikantam anashnatah, na chati swapnashilasya jagrato naiva charjuna. Yoga or the perfection of life cannot be attained. What to speak of perfection of life? Anything in this world cannot be achieved by a person who eats too much or eats too less, sleeps too much or sleeps too little. Excessive of anything is not good. And yukta ahara viharasya, yukta karmasya cheshtasa, yukta sopna avabodhasya yogo bhavati dukkha. Yukta ahara, the food, vihara, recreation, cheshtasya karmasa, work for sustenance, whatever our occupation, and yukta sopna avabodhasya, sleep. Eating, sleeping, recreation and work. If these are all moderate, such a person can remain healthy. In the Kali Yuga, it is very easy. Lifespan is becoming shorter and shorter and shorter. Prayena alpayushah. The first sign of Kali Yuga is people's lifespan has reduced. And it says, why it is reduced? It is not because of insufficient food, but it is because of irregular habits. With regular habit and simple food, anyone can maintain good health. But unfortunately, the whole lifestyle today, thanks to the call centers and whatnot, all kinds of activities that go on, absolutely disturbed bodily cycle. And therefore, the body doesn't understand this language. And it takes time, and slowly it's working. I mean, you're burning the candle at the two end. For some years, Now 20, 30 years of your peak, when the body is functioning nicely, you may sustain. But today I've seen actually, about 30, 35, body disintegrates. And most of your energy, with compound interest, you have to spend for maintaining your health. Spending lots of time, lots of energy, lots of money. You have to pay with compound interest for getting back that. And today's whole lifestyle is like that. Not proper exercise, not proper recreation. Recreation, it has to be, it's required. But none of it is in properly balanced. Overeating, over sense gratification, over dependence on another's mercy, and artificial standards of living sap the very vitality of human energy. Srila Prabhupada writes these words. And people don't know, we don't have proper priorities, not regulated. And therefore today we find, we had one time recently youth program, 17-year-old fellow, he wanted a chair because he had arthritis. 24-year fellow gets a heart attack. Every third fellow has some back problem or this problem or that problem. Third fellow has an asthma. So many diseases, especially in lifestyle of Bombay. So yukta ahara, foodstuffs. Krishna explains in the Gita, what exactly is proper foodstuff? You are what you eat. Ayuhu sattva bala arogya sukhapriti vivardhanaha rasya snigdha stira hridya ahara sattvika priya. People in the mode of goodness, sattva guna, like food, that is ayu, it increases our lifespan. Sattva, it purifies our existence. Bala, it aids bodily strength. Sukha, it gives happiness. And preeti, it is very satisfying. Rasyaha, these foods are very juicy. Nice fruits and vegetables and things like that. Snigdha, snigdha means fatty. Fatty does not mean animal fat. The same animal fat which is available in their body is available through milk and cheese and ghee and whatnot. Butter, snigdha. Sthira, sthira means wholesome. And hridya, hridya means very pleasing and satisfying to the body. Ahara, sattvika priya. Such a person can maintain good health for a long time. But what is people in the mode of passion? Katu, amla, lavana, atyushna, tikshna, ruksha, vidahina, ahara, rajasa, seshta, dukha, shoka, amaya, prada. Katu, highly bitter, amla, sour, highly sour, lavana, highly salty, atyushna, very hot, tikshna, highly pungent, ruksha, dry, and vidahina. It burns. It burns when it goes in. It burns when it comes out. That food is in the mode of passion. Dukha shoka amaya prada. It causes distress. It causes misery. And it causes diseases. Why all over the world, even the Western world, today it's a fashionable to turn to vegetarianism, turn to organic foods. It's the nature. The farther you go from nature, the harder the knock you get. And you have to come back to nature. Again, history repeats itself. You go try all nonsense, you know, try some newer and newer things, get a kick on your face, then come back. Eventually now, everyone is thinking of natural. Recently I read an article in Sunday magazine. Drink from copper vessel. Grandma's solution, very good. And so many advantages. Why you have to come back? Because that's the nature. The more the body, the mind and the soul is living in harmony with nature, the more you will be happy, blissful and achieve the goal of life. Ahara. So ahara. And yata, what is the food in the mode of ignorance? Yata yamam gatarasam puti paryushitam chayat uchishtam api chamedhyam bhojanam tamasapriyam. Yata yamam. 3 hours after it is cooked. When was Prerana's prasad cooked? It is offered to Krishna, it is a prasad. That is transcendental. Sometimes people get 1 month later, this is Tirupati prasad. Oh! No problem. Because it is transcendental to the modes of nature. So, yatayamam, gatarasam, tasteless, puti, foul smelling. One time I went to Kulaba market, you know, for Harinam Sankirtan. And we went to a street where they were selling fish. And I saw ladies with baskets coming on Sunday morning to buy a fish with a hanky on their nose. Kitna? 2 kilo. Jaldi. Jaldi, jaldi. They're buying something, can't tolerate. Foul smell. But they pay to get it. Puti. Puti means foul smelling. Paryushitam, decomposed, carcasses. Uchishtam, things that is left over, put in the fridge and again taken back. Eaten, those remnants are put back. Uchishtam chapi, amedhyam. Amedhyam means untouchable foodstuffs. Bhojanam tamasa priyam. It's liked by people in the mode of ignorance. So, you are what you eat. Food is for three things. It's to increase lifespan, aid bodily strength, and purify one's existence. That's the only purpose of food. And actually, according to Ayurveda, food, if you know the nature of your body, and if you know the nature of the foodstuffs, each food has a particular nature. If you know the nature of your body, and if you know the nature of the foodstuff, you will never fall sick. And even if you are sick, you can enjoy your senses and still become healthy. If you have some problem, if you have some diseases, there are food combinations. Your food can be your medicine if you know when to take, what to take, how much to take, in what proportion, in what combination. People had this. You don't have to, you know, stuff yourself with so many chemicals, which is like, you want to kill Saddam Hussein and you bomb the whole Kabul, whatever. What is that? Area? No, not Saddam Hussein, sorry. No. Osama bin Laden. They bomb the whole that area. So it's like one tumor is here, then you bomb the area, the whole thing is destroyed. And to recover that, you have to take so many other diet and things. Please, I am not against allopathy or homeopathy or this pathy or that pathy. We are against whatever is unfavorable and whatever is favorable. Everything has its utility. Everything has its utility. But you should know when to use what, to what extent. With discrimination, and people should have determination. Once you discriminate what is good, what's bad, you should have determination to follow it through. But that's because of laziness. So, ahara. Then vihara. Karma. Karma means endeavor. How much do we need for our maintenance? Actually, Vedic lifestyle means simple living, high thinking. Because of artificial lifestyle, people's demands have increased so much. People's unwanted needs have increased so much. Just for that kind of status symbol, so much has to be acquired and work so much. Truly, what you require is much less. So a balanced working schedule, a balanced kind of food stuff, and recreation. People need some kind of walking, some kind of... If you don't do it, you will forcibly have to do it. Early morning, you go to Marine Drive. Hundreds of people walking early in the morning. They must have never risen before 8 o'clock. But you see them walking. 1 hour. Why? The doctor has said, do or die. You have to get up at 6 o'clock. A fellow who has never seen sunrise gets up in the Brahma Muhurta. Why? Because it's a do or die thong. You have to do it. It's natural. We need some exercise. If you don't do it, nature will force you to do it. If you still don't do it, you have to retire early. That's it. Viharasya. Now, what is our recreation? Artificially, to titillate the senses, there are so many recreation. But actually, Srila Prabhupada said, real recreation. Everyone wants some enjoyment. But the real enjoyment is enjoyment of the self, real self. The other things don't touch the soul. And as long as it doesn't touch the soul, you don't feel satisfied by that kind of happiness. So that enjoyment is real enjoyment, which actually satisfies the self, the real self. If you put petrol to the car, driver is not satisfied and he doesn't drink petrol. He needs different food stuff. We are spirit soul. We need spiritual entertainment. Intellectual understanding is very enlivening and enlightening to the self. It inspires, it motivates, and it gives immense strength to perform activities which otherwise we may not have the motivation and the energy. It's amazing. Spiritual life is dynamic. It's not static. It satisfies the mind. And it satisfies the senses. We have nice prasad for you. And we will not take much time now. So it is a wholesome. You get good food. You get good bhajan, kirtan, satisfying, mentally satisfying, and simultaneously touching the spirit and philosophically satisfying. You get to hear some truths of life. So in this way, actually, one can maintain good health. So, and then of course, sleep. Sleep is said that approximately 6 to 6.5 hours is the requirement of the body. I see some worried looks. If it's a physical work, it may need a little more. But then otherwise, for a sedentary lifestyle, some kind of activity, 6 to 7 hours. More than that is taking away your vital energy. The whole idea of sleep is to maintain alertness throughout the rest of the day. That's exactly what you need. More will put you in a mode of ignorance for the rest of the day. Less, you know, you will not be alert. That's the balance. How to remain alert to do the activities in proper consciousness. Always being aware, why are we doing what we are doing? Very purposeful, meaningful activity. Not whiling it away and not unnecessarily using time and energy in an unwanted way. In this way, and the more we give, the more we receive. This is a secret. Selfless service attitude can give a satisfaction that nothing of this world can give. And it's all up to us. It's available. This is health. So in conclusion, real health means when the body, the mind and the spirit, the real self, the soul, is in working in harmony with nature. And a diseaseless condition means a body that is free of physical diseases, mental unwanted contaminations, and lack of or rather to acquire spiritual knowledge and awareness of the destination and moving towards that without laziness. This is real health. And a person who has this is actually a very great and very fortunate person. And someone has this access and still misuses or just neglects, there is no more unfortunate person than this person. Suppose somebody has a diamond and he never recognizes it as a diamond and he loses it. It's not so unfortunate because he never realized its value. But having caught the diamond and known its value, because of callousness, if we neglect and ignore, then there is no more unfortunate person than that. So therefore, Krishna requests, this is Bhagavad Gita's request, and this is the great Acharyas, they are imploring us, having got this precious human form of life, do whatever is necessary to maintain a vibrant physical, mental and spiritual health, and utilizing every moment of our life, use it to achieve the highest destination. Otherwise, we will become unfortunate. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.
Krishna, I have got two questions.
One at a time.
Okay. The first question is, everything is temporary out here. So if we do any pious activities, we are promoted to higher planets, but that is also temporary. Once that pious activities finishes, then we again descend down. Then how is not that temporary?
The soul is eternal. The material world, from the topmost planet, Abrahma Bhuvana Loka Punaravartan Arjuna. In the heavenly planets, it is said, their one day is equal to our 6 months. So they live for thousands of years. But, Kshine Punye Martyalokam Vishanti. It's like credit card. You use there, it's a Bhoga Yoni. You acquire pious credits, you go with this credit card. Once it is exhausted, you come back to square one. But then, the Gita also explains, avyakta akshara iti yukta stamahuhu paramam gatim. We are talking about not the Swarga Loka, because what to speak of Swarga? There are 14 planetary systems, Swarga, then we have much more, you know, Maharloka, Tapoloka, Janaloka, and Brahmaloka. But we are talking of a realm of existence which is beyond all this material existence, where it is, the life is eternal, full of knowledge and blissful. That's called Vaikuntha. There's difference between Swarga and Vaikuntha. Swarga is like a pleasure resort. You enjoy for some time, then you come back. But then Vaikuntha means anxiety. And Vaikuntha means Vigata Kuntha. There's no anxiety of birth, old age, disease and death. So, we are not talking about pious credits, because pious or impious, in the ultimate issue, they are two sides of the same coin, because they keep you in this prison house of material existence. In a prison house, whether you are in an A class cell or a B class cell, there are some prisons which have AC, you know, for some political prisoners, they have AC cell, they have tennis court, swimming pool. And on the other hand, they have a dark dungeon for dangerous criminals. So somebody aspires from that situation to a better situation in the prison house. It's prison house nevertheless. But intelligent is he who comes out of the prison house. So we're talking about the spiritual world, not of an advanced material existence. Does that make sense? Is it clear?
Thank you much. Yeah. My next question is, are ladies or Matajis less intelligent to take up Vedic classes and all? Like only Prabhujis take? Is there anywhere written in the Shastras that...
If a lady thinks she's a lady, then she's less intelligent.
No, in school, colleges, lady professors takes up... Like in schools, we have lady teachers, professors. But in Shastras, is there anywhere written that they are less capable of it?
Spirituality transcends the bodily concept of life. Spirit soul is equally Sat Chit Ananda, eternal, full of knowledge and blissful. We may have top scientists who may not understand the difference between matter and spirit, and we have a completely angutha chap, you know, some illiterate fellow having faith, taking up spirituality through spiritual intelligence. Material intelligence is totally different from spiritual intelligence. And spiritual intelligence, dadami buddhi yogam tam yenamam upayantade. Any sincere soul has access to this spiritual intelligence. There's no material barrier to achieving spiritual perfection. Yeah? Does that answer your question? Yeah.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji, you told about determination, but please tell about the determination and hard-heartedness. because many times you couldn't understand what is the exact determination and hard-heartedness. Means people, I saw many students, they are determined in their things, but many times students think that he is a hard-hearted person or like that. Then that is what is the exact parameter for determination, something like that.
Your question is, what is the difference between determined person and a hard-hearted person? If you are very determined with yourself, that's all right. When the same determination is applied for others, that becomes hard-hearted. You have to be considerate regarding each one's capacity, ability. Each one is a different individual. So, there are two things, two dangers. One is lack of consideration. Another one is becoming proud. If you become proud just because you are able to do something others are not, then you fall down spiritually. And the whole thing is lost. The illusory energy has captured you. You have become a dancing doll in the hands of illusory energy. And such a proud person is offensive, naturally. But true determination is for oneself. And by one's own example and determination, one can inspire others. Inspire others. But trying to impose one's own people, like tomorrow is Nirjala Ekadashi. Tomorrow is one day in a year where devotees actually fast even from water. Now, if a person is conveniently without any, because of particular kind of, those who have different kind of prakriti, you know, not a pitta prakriti but kapha prakriti, they can fast comfortably and dance around. Somebody else has a pitta prakriti, you know, so you just can't make it. And if he thinks, look at these people just hogging around. Look at these people, uncontrolled senses. It is better to eat and become humble than to fast. It is better to fast your false ego than to fast and feed your false ego and become puffed up. So, two things, as I said. It boils down to true determination is to actually become humble. Real knowledge means the more you know, the humble a person becomes. And secondly, very considerate, knowing that everyone is not the same. Each one's needs are different, ability, capacity, things are different. So we are like that.
Krishna, Prabhuji, my question is, does a man, Haribol, my question is, does a man get karmic reaction for knowingly or unknowingly damaging his health?
Knowingly or unknowingly damaging his health, does a person get reaction?
Yes. Yes.
Obviously, if you damage your health, you have to suffer. Unknowingly, actually there is no question of unknowing. Having got a human form of life, it is our responsibility to know these things. If a dog passes through a red light signal, the police doesn't punish, but if a man crosses through, he is punishable. So having got a human form of life, it is a responsibility to know it. First thing. So if a person does not know and still do it, it's understandable. But knowingly if someone does, the reaction is going to be obviously more. Surely, yeah. So, thank you very much. I wish you pink of health for all time to come. Hare Krishna.